Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to Kairos. We are in week 11 of our Preach Grace series. I'm just kidding. We're not doing Preach Grace. We're moving into a new series today called Growing Gains. Growing Gains. Have any of you guys ever experienced growing pains growing up? Anyone ever had to deal with that? They're horrible. When I was really young, I had growing pains really, really bad. I'd wake up in the middle of the night crying, and my mom, you know, was over it really quickly. Anyway, I'm just kidding. She was very sweet and sympathetic, and like I had to actually go, and they had to like, you know, do these massages. And it was tough, but I was growing, and growth is good. Oh, hey, ladies, hi, welcome, thank you. Let's come a little bit more. Yeah, look, it's precarious. Okay, yeah, that should be good. Yeah, make sure they're perfect and straight. You did that, not me. All right, sorry, those are my girls. So growing pains, they are good, but they hurt a little bit. And so we are, as a church, we are in a season of growing, and we are excited about that. But with that comes change, with that comes adjustment, with that comes sacrifice. Anybody out there work out? You like to get buff? And in order for your muscles to get bigger, what do you got to do to them? Anyone know? You got to break them down, right? And then you break them down, and then they build back up. And so we all know the old adage, right? No pain, no what? No gain. No pain, no gain. So we have our growing pains, but they're good. They're good pains. And so I thought about calling this series Growing Pains, but I was like, you know what? No. This is Growing Gains, and so we're growing gains. We're getting buff. Whew. Okay, not like that, but, you know, if you want to do that too. So let me talk a little bit about some of our growing pains that we're experiencing right now. Anyone in here serving kids? Everyone is like, the kids are in there serving right now. If you haven't gone back there, like, our kids' ministry is busting at the seams. Some classes seeing upwards of 20 to 25 kids, and it's really hard in those moments to be intentional, as intentional as we'd like to be. And our kids ministry workers do a phenomenal job. I'm not saying that they're doing a bad job, but we're at that place where we're seeing the writing on the wall that if we don't do something now, it's not going to be good. In here with some of our latest trends and numbers and growth and new people coming, we're getting to where we're getting upwards of 150 to 160 adults, and we only have about 200 seats, and there's this whole thing about how many seats there are versus how many people, and we all like to have like three or four buffer seats in between the next person because we don't know what they're doing, right? Because they're weirdos, and so we do this everywhere we go, right? So, like, we got to have at least, you know, one here, and then, you know, we'll be good. And so we all have our buffer seat, and we got to factor that in. And when you come in, and it's a little bit dark, and everyone's standing, and you're kind of, like, looking around, and you're not really sure where to sit, if there's any room, and you don't want to bother anybody or ask a move. And so the thing is, it's like, you know what, we'll come back next week, you know? And so there's this whole thing where you got to prepare for that and look for that. And so we have that, and the other thing is when you have that many adults coming through, it's really hard to connect with everybody. It's really hard to be intentional, to take time to connect with each person. And so we've got some growing pains going on. Growing problems are good problems, but they require our attention. They require adjustment. Now let's talk about how we got to where we are today. I want to kind of give you kind of a two-year recap. Going back to before COVID, because some of you weren't here, and you've recently joined our church, and the last 2 years have joined our church, and you don't know the entire story of where we came from. So if we go back, 2020, in January and February of 2020, our church was getting ready to break through the 300 barrier. If you know anything about church growth and or barriers or any business growth, there are certain barriers, and some of them are really hard to get past. And ours was, we were right at that breaking point of hitting 300 people in attendance. It was the biggest our church has ever been. It was just amazing, the momentum we were seeing, and it was awesome. And then, you know, March comes in and COVID hits. And what takes place? Well, at that time, we were at a school. If you didn't know this, we were at a school. It was Chain Lakes Elementary. Loved that school. And what's really cool about the hitting 300, we were doing two services at the school. We were doing setup and teardown, and we had minimal staff. And so it was awesome to see what we were able to do with what God gave us and the sacrifice that we were willing to do. But COVID comes in, and we can no longer meet at the school. People are no longer going to church, so we're scurrying around, and we had to move online and do things online. We had to figure out how we were going to record and keep people engaged through this whole thing and continue to be a church that can't gather in person. What a difficult season that was, right? And it was tough. But then all through the rest of 2020, we stayed focused on our mission, what God called us to do, and on rebuilding. And so now here we are. And what's really crazy, I was thinking about this just yesterday. This October will be our 5-year anniversary as a church. That's pretty great, right? That's awesome. But this October, we will have, and this is crazy, we will have celebrated 3 different anniversaries in this building. And I was thinking back to that. I was like, wait, what? Anyway, it was just a weird little thing, and I just wanted to share that with you. But this will be the longest location that we've actually been in. So we're experiencing some growing pains, but we're viewing them as growing gains. So I want to give you numbers. So they're going to put some numbers up on the screen. I want to talk through each of these. So I kind of talked about how we were nearing that barrier. And so the numbers I'm going to give you here are averages of what we would see just in a time range. So 2020 pre-COVID, so this is February and January, we were averaging 190 adults, 80 kids. Again, this is 2 services, because could you imagine, Kim, 80 kids over there right now? Boom, 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 you know, and so we were, 270 was our average. That's January and February. And then you get down to 2020 post-COVID. And now we didn't actually get back into person. And everyone was like, well, you can track online numbers and who's there. No, you can't. Because someone could watch for like 30 seconds. And you'd be like, oh, tracking that. And be like, yeah, win. So anyway, I remember that. It was the whole debacle. We're just like, I'm not trying to track who's watching online. Like, I'm just trying to get through this thing. So we get to September of 2020. We're in this building, we're recording, and we're trying to get this place going. And like the first time we actually started recording attendance again was September of 2020. And here's where we were at. You ready? 70 adults and 8 kids. Whoa, right? Yeah, I would go back to when we were in our pre-launch phase. And this is like, was our pre-launch numbers. And the 8 kids were my own kids. And so like... And so we had 78 people, and you go from, man, all this amazing, like this growth, but God has a purpose in all of it. And we're experiencing that purpose right now. So then we go to, 2021. And this is all of 2021. You get to the end of 2021, and we're averaging 85 adults, 25 kids, 110 people, total. Now, with 2020-21, it was still pretty hard because there was still quarantine, there was still social distancing, there was still isolation. There were probably 3 or 4 weeks where we just said, hey, we can't do church today because we don't want to spread COVID. And so it was really hard to rebuild. Even though we were back in person, we weren't really at that full force where we wanted to be where we were before. And so we saw some growth and we were rebuilding. And then you get into 2022. Just in the last 3 months. Actually, it was probably October, November, December of 2021 where we started seeing some of this. But now we're getting back into those numbers where we're averaging 130 adults, 40 kids in the kids' ministry with 170 people in attendance. And so as a staff, what we're looking at is that we're at that point where if we don't do something now, it's going to be bad for the entire church, and we're not going to grow because we weren't willing to change and adjust and do some things that we need to do. So we had a season of pain, adjustment, change, loss. It was hard. In that season of pain, guess what we did? We stayed fruitful. We went after our mission. We stayed focused on what God was trying to do, and because of that, we saw growth and we multiplied. And I was thinking about this. We were doing our Galatians series, and we talked about the fruits of the Spirit and getting the fruits of the Spirit and being fruitful, right? Well, in Genesis 1:28, what did God say to Adam and Eve? He said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, if you're an adult and you're married, you know what he was talking about, okay? Right? We know. We understand. But it's true, but if you think about just the way that things work and weave and the words that are written and God uses, that word fruitful, I can't help but think about when we are fruitful in our lives. when we're living out the fruits of the Spirit, what is going to happen from that, when each of us are being fruitful, we will see multiplication of God's kingdom. And so God, man, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Take those fruits and go, man, see amazing things take place within God's church. And I believe we are in a season of multiplication where God is getting ready to do something big. Me and Lynn were talking about how there is a revival that's going to be taking place where people come back to the only truth and to the only hope that can be found on this world, and that is in Jesus Christ. So we're in a season of multiplication. But here's the true reality of this. If the church is going to expand its capacity, it's going to require you to expand yours. Does that make sense? For the church to expand its capacity, you have to expand your capacity. And so we've already announced that we're going to two services. Some of you who are moment makers or serve in some capacity within the church, you got wind of this. We announced it a few weeks ago. So we're moving to two services. Beginning April 24th, we'll be having a 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service. And we're going to take what we're growing right now, and we're going to kind of, you know, multiply, put it into two different services. Now, this isn't something new for Kairos. We've done this. We've operated this way. As a matter of fact, for 2 years before COVID, we were a church that had two services, but many of you are new, and all you've ever known about Kairos is one service. Raise your hand if you were here when we had two services. So look around. Yeah. And then we have some new people, and when we did, you know, two services, it was, I already talked about it, set up and tear down. Who wants to do set up and tear down again? Kelly, I saw your hand back there, buddy. He was, you know, stuffing the kids' trailer. We used to stuff all of kids' ministry in a tiny trailer at the back of the kids' building. It was crazy. There was sacrifice when we were doing two services. And we would show up Friday nights, and we'd set up for about, you know, 4 hours, sometimes five, sometimes late into the night. We'd show up early Sunday morning, and still there'd be things to set up and things that we could do. And then after, you know, two services is done, we start tearing down and, you know, taking pipe and drape and moving chairs and putting tables back and resetting. So we're in teachers' classrooms, and we're moving all the stuff around. And bless those teachers' heart. They were so gracious to us. But we literally took pictures. We had marks. We made sure we put everything back the way it was, because we wanted to respect the space that they were giving us. And it was a lot of work. It was a lot of sacrifice. It was a lot of commitment. And through it all, we saw amazing, amazing growth. Now, you're probably like, when is he going to start playing Jenga? I'll get to that, you know. This is one of my favorite illustrations. I've shared it a couple times for the church, and I want to share kind of what's taking place right now for us. So, the church is going to be represented by the Jenga Tower, okay? Now, what's really fun about this illustration is that at the very foundation, there are three blocks, and you got Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? Every church, that is the foundation. That is solid. Jesus is the cornerstone. If you're into the Bible at all, you'll get that. Anyway, I don't have time to talk about that today. And so we have Jesus, we have the Trinity, and then, you know, it goes to staff, and then leaders, and then we have coordinators, and then we have directors, and then we have moment makers, and then we have, you know, people who are attending, and then, you know, up here we have, you know, just people who are checking us out and learning. And so we have the church, and it's growing, and it's great. Oh, hold on. I almost forgot one thing. Let's see if we can do this. This is the fun part about all of this, is trying to do what I need to do and not destroy the church. Okay, so I forgot about kids. Hold on. Here we go. And the kids' blocks are a little bit bigger, because kids have big personalities, you know. And, okay, so here's our church. Right? And I think each one of these blocks actually will represent a kid. There's about 40 blocks here. So it's precarious, right? And we're like, don't start removing pieces. But here's the reality. This is one of the things I talk about. So we have these people and they're doing things, but we go through different seasons where, you know, where we can't serve anymore. And so maybe we have to step out of serving, and we're still here, but we can't serve, we're sick or whatever. And then, you know, I'm going to try to, oh my gosh. Okay, I'm going to take that one out. And so people start stepping out of serving, and oh, don't fall on me just yet. Not time. Oh, we're good. Okay. And so we have gaps. And the reality is as there are gaps, what happens is new people come to the church, right? We have new people that show up, and we have VIPs, and then we get new moment makers, and, you know, we just have some people that are starting to come, and as these people start showing up, guess what can happen? We can start, it's okay, guys. These people come in here, they start filling in gaps, okay? So that's where moment makers come in. That's why serving is so important. That's why giving people a break is so important. We don't want people burning out. Because if I take out a whole level, guess what happens? The whole thing comes undone. And so we're there. And so we have all these people. And it's good. And so I'm gonna add a little bit more. Okay, here we go. And then as these people come, you know they have kids, right? And so we're gonna add a little bit more. Jesus, be with me. Okay. I don't even know if I can reach. Okay, here we go. Now. Look what we have done! So this is kind of where we're at. This is one service. And I honestly, man, like at any given moment, if I start, this person's kind of done. But they're going to stay. Oh, yeah, good. This person's kind of done. But they're going to, I'm not playing Jenga the right way because you can't touch it. I'm trying to keep it steady. That person's done. I mean, let's say, a kid grows up and they're now there and another kid grows up and this person steps out. Oh, it's going good. I can't even reach anymore. I'm going to get this one. Okay. Babe, this is where I need you. Okay. That's where we're noticing that there's the writing on the wall, where if we keep trying to operate, fill this space, get to capacity in here, get to capacity in kids, we're burning out our volunteers and those who are serving. There's another one. It's going to get to a place where it's just not going to be good, and we don't want to do that. And so we've recognized now that in order to not have that happen, we've got to add another service. And so that's what I'm going to do. That actually fell a lot more than when I practiced. Like, I was able to save some of the people. Y'all fell. I'm sorry. I let you down. my wife's picking up the pieces. That's how it always goes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go through, and I'm like a bull in a china shop. And Christine's like, hey, how you doing? I love you guys. Don't mind my husband. Okay. and she sounds like that, too, if you have ever heard her. If you've never heard her talk. So I'm gonna try to rebuild. But what we're going to do is now I'm going to start building another tower. And this is us building our second service going on. Will you help me build this one too, baby? Get this one going. Yeah. And so as we start doing this, what we're going to begin doing is kind of distributing some of the weight, distributing some of the load, lightening the load on some people. We're going to be able to increase intentionality with the people that are here, and we don't have to feel so rushed and so crazy about what we got going on and just thinking in the back of our heads at any given moment, this whole thing could just come undone. And so we have the two services, and so we're going to get these to equal heights. Let me see. You got those ones? Yeah. And then we're going to start adding kids to it as well. Because, you know, we love our kids and love our kids' ministry, and we want to teach them about Jesus. Yeah, cool, perfect. I don't need this one anymore. And so this is it. This is what we do here. We take from the one, and we turn it into, yeah, that's good. Turn it into two. This one's bigger. It's better. This one over here is better than this one. Don't go to this service. That one's better. Okay, the rest can just go here. And so now, we've got two services. And they may or may not be equal, but let's just make them equal because otherwise I'll look at it and freak out, you know? Okay. So now we've distributed the weight, and it's good, and you know, I'm really doing this thing. Whereas if I was to like mess with that a lot on the other one, it probably would have come down, and you don't really want to try to push your church over. That's not a good, if you're trying to push the church over, that's bad, okay? Stop doing that. But it's stable, and we're here, and it's good, and there's more opportunity for gospel purpose, because as we create two different services, guess what we're doing? We're creating more opportunity for you to step in and serve. And it's just like I said, as we expand our capacity, you've got to be willing to expand yours, because here's what we don't want to happen. We don't want to have our kids ministry workers from the 9 a.m. also serving over here in the 11 a.m. and taking this and, oh, you saw what just happened? Okay, this is what I'm talking about. And so, because when we start having people serve in both, they're going to get burnt out. And that was exactly what we didn't want to happen. And so in order for us to make sure that both of these services are healthy, we got to make sure that we're adding moment makers to both. We have this saying, if you've ever gone through our moment maker training, I've heard, we call it sit one, serve one. Well, we couldn't do that for the last, you know, 2 years, because we only had one service. And we did our very best to tell people that, hey, serve 1 week and sit in service the next week. Because while we do want you serving, we know that in order for you to serve at your greatest capacity, you have also got to be fed. And you've got to get the word. And you've got to be able to just be in community and be in worship. And can I just tell you, for the last year, for probably 80% of the kids workers, they haven't been able to do that. And every single week they're in there, they're investing in your kids and they're loving on your kids and they're dealing with it so that you can get fed. But we're getting into a stage of our church where we can begin to bless you by giving you an opportunity to serve and bless them by giving them an opportunity to sit. And it's so important that we each do our part in all of this and get to a place now where we could come in here and we could add to both of these. And we'll get maybe to the same problem that we had before, where it's getting too tall and we can talk about adding another service. Listen, my last church, dude, we were doing 5 services. It's a lot. But you can't take those 5 services and try to do one. And I'm not saying we'll get to 5 services. Maybe we don't expand services, but we expand our building capacity by moving into something. Ooh, that's dangerous. Okay, a little bit there. I'm gonna leave that alone. It looks pretty just like that, so let's leave that alone. And so maybe you know, in 3 years, because that's how long we're gonna be in this place for the next 3 years. At least that's how long I said I would be in here. And that's great, and we get to grow for the next 3 years. But if we look at these numbers and what's taken place in the time that it's took place, what we've seen God do in 2 and 3 years' time is he is, because we're fruitful, because we're willing to sacrifice, there's multiplication. So in 3 years' time, it could be to where both of these services are just like the one service, and we've got to begin to make moves and make changes and stuff like that. And so I hope that made sense. I hope you understand where we're at as a church and why we're doing what we're doing. And we need your help. And we need you to step in, and we need you to be willing to sacrifice. And so we have what we call moment maker training. And we do them right now once a month, and we do sign-ups, and we do pre-registration, we do lunch, and if you need childcare, we do childcare. And so there is a moment maker training happening next Sunday after service. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do is this. If you have not gone through moment maker training, I want you to take out, at some point during this service, take out this Next Step card and just simply put serve, become a moment maker, put your name, put your email. If you need childcare, let us know in the comments. You can also go online and sign up as well in it. This will just help us prepare for you to coming. And so we only, at the current time, we're only doing pre-registration for moment maker training. But for this one, I'm willing to open it up. If you don't register, fine. If you show up next Sunday and you didn't sign up and then you hear me talking about it again during service, just come and join us. Hear about the church, hear about some of our vision, hear about the ministries you can serve in, and get plugged in and get involved in what God has going on here at Kairos Church, because it's so, so important, because we can't do what we do as a church without you. And I hope you know that. Every single experience, every single moment, everything you get to enjoy is because someone else was willing to sacrifice and serve and give of their time so that you can enjoy Jesus and worship and this amazing community that we have together as a church. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't taken that next step, take that next step. Now, I still have more to talk about, but I want to take a quick break and talk about Easter. So Easter's coming, and it's going to be great, and we have two services for Easter. We're having one Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30. And while we do need help serving in the building and, you know, filling both the needs for two different services, we really, really need help with the event that we have going on outside. So let me tell you really quickly about what's going on. It'll be after both of our services. There'll just be a lot of Easter fun. And much like Christmas, we're going to be transforming the entire the parking lot in front of our building into like an Easter kind of playground where we have digging for eggs in a giant ball pit. We used to call it diving for eggs, but then we realized if a kid actually dove in, they'd get a concussion. And we don't want that. And so now, so what we do is we have this, like, it's like a 20 by 20 pit netting thing, and we just fill that thing with ball pit balls, and then we just toss eggs in there, and then they just go around and gather eggs, and it's a lot of fun. We do something called Dunk the Bunny, and so we put somebody in an Easter Bunny suit, and we put him in a dunk tank, and yeah, we dunk him into water, and we hope he doesn't drown. I'm just kidding. We put ball pit balls in there as well, so we don't drown the bunny. We don't want to do that on Easter. We got a petting zoo. We're going to have like all these Easter inflatables where you can take photos, pics with the Easter bunny. We're even for, you know, some of the older kids and the young adults, an inflatable obstacle course that we can, you know, just wear ourselves out on. So anyway, there's going to be a lot going on after service as well. And we need help setting up on a Saturday. We need help manning on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. And then we need help also tearing it all down. And so, like I've asked you to step in and take a next step into serving, I'm going to ask you, if you're not serving in any capacity and if you've thought about it and want to get involved, here's a good first step. Man, join us for Easter. Help us set up, help us tear down, help us, man, just give an amazing event where people can come and enjoy the fun, but all the fun is in an effort to have them hear about Jesus Christ. And that's why we do the things that we do, is so that we can share the gospel with people. And as you serve out there, you are helping people and learn about and hear about and respond to Jesus Christ. So, Easter services. You can put that on your Next Step card as well. Hey, I want to help out with Easter. We'd love that. Okay, I want to talk about one of our values. And we talk about this, and we talk about building one another up and holding one another up, and we got to function together as a body. So one of our values as a church is called, we call it equip one another. And this is simply what it says, is we will never lose sight of equipping one another through prayer, through scripture, through worship, through accountability, through groups, through serving. We are a community, we are a family, and we want to equip and encourage one another. And we will encourage one another to continue taking next steps in our walk with Christ and in our leadership. Because at the end of the day, Jesus Christ didn't die just so you could come and sit in service and worship. You get to do that for eternity. I don't know if you know that or not. But he died so that you could also go out and bring the hope and serve those that need it. Jesus was someone who did not come to be served, but to what? He came to serve. And so if all you're experiencing of church is coming in, sitting, and going out, That's not all that Jesus has for you. And I want you to know that. And I want to encourage you, and I want to help you step into what we called through our last series, your gospel purpose. What God specifically has for you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, encourage one another and build each other up as you were already doing. That's our scripture for our value, equip one another. And then Ephesians 4:16, it says this, the whole body depends on Christ. When it talks about the body, it's talking about the body of Christ, the body of believers, the church. And all the parts of the body are joined and held together. Each part does its own work to make the whole body grow and be strong with love. So it's each part. Every single part here is doing something to help support, to help encourage, to help love, to help push, to help challenge. And I can tell you this, God brought you here in this season, in this very moment, for a purpose. He has something for you. It's no coincidence that you showed up to Kairos Church. You're here for a purpose. Every person that comes through this door and then comes back, this is pretty important. Some people don't, and that's okay. We want to make sure that everyone finds the right church that God has for them, because in every single church here in this community, God has something for somebody. The important part is that you step into it. So God has brought you here for a purpose, for a gospel purpose. I wonder, have you identified it? And if you have identified it, have you been obedient enough to step into it? Usually identifying is the easy part. We say, oh yeah, God's going to do this. But then we start talking ourselves out of it. Well, I don't have time. No, I can't do it. No, I'm not really equipped. No, I'm not smart enough. No, I don't think I can. We just got to be obedient to what God calls us into, because he's got you. And whatever he calls you to, you've heard this. It's so cliche. He'll equip you for, right? But it's so true. If God is calling you to it, he will give you everything you need and provide all that you need and bless you beyond measure when you obediently step in to the purpose that he has for you. So he brought you here. He brought you here. Look, let's see if I can get one of these out. He brought you, and let's say you're here. He brought you here specifically because this body is missing something, and you were that missing piece. You were what we needed to continue to help support us, to encourage us, and to grow us. And you know God's purpose for his people? It will always be to share the gospel. And how we share and what we do to share, it'll look different for every one of us. We're all made unique. We all have unique gifts and talents. But at the end of the day, every single person that calls themselves a Jesus follower is called to share the gospel, to go and make disciples, to make sacrifices. And that's the reality. Sharing the gospel, it will always, always require self-sacrifice. You go to scripture and it's less of me and more of you, God. And he tells us to, you know, take up our cross daily. And what does that mean? It's death to self. Our wants, our desires, our needs, our excuses. And we set those things aside and we sacrifice for him. And if you want proof of the gospel requiring sacrifice, well, number one, see Jesus. I mean, if you need any more proof than Jesus sacrificing and serving, well, then see all the martyred disciples. These men and women who, what we get to experience today, they died for. Sacrifice. You can read throughout scriptures, you know, like some 14 books that Paul has written, and in about every single one, he's dealing with hardship, suffering, snake bites, shipwrecks, getting stoned, drug. There was sacrifice, there was pain, but because of that pain, the gospel, because of that sacrifice, the gospel was advanced. And more people came to know Jesus Christ. So I wonder, if someone was to ask you today, what are you sacrificing? Or what have you sacrificed for the gospel? How would you be able to respond? It's a pretty deep question to think about. And one, honestly, like, you could go out and someone could ask you that, but here's what I do know. One day when you leave this earth and you go to see your Maker, he'll probably ask you the same thing. What did you sacrifice? What did you do? And we want to hear him say, what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you for sacrificing your life so that more and more people can come to know Jesus and experience new life. So yeah, you'll make sacrifices. There's always going to be sacrifices to serve. But you can believe with the God that we're serving, there will always be great reward. There's a scripture in Matthew 19:29, and it It's Jesus, and he says this, and everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, or fields, because of my name, what's it say? Will receive 100 times more. All right, so he's like, in this life, if you're willing to sacrifice, if you're willing to step out, if you're willing to serve and do these things, you're going to receive 100 times more blessing here. And then he goes on and says, and you will inherit eternal life, the greatest reward that there is. And so here's the truth and what we've been going to be talking about during the next couple of weeks in order to get some gains, right? There's going to have to be some pain. There's going to have to be some sacrifice. In order for us to grow, we have to be willing to sow, right? There's that whole thing of sowing, and we'll reap what we sow. In order for us to multiply, we have to be fruitful. In order for us to help people get saved and know about Jesus, we've got to be willing to serve. And at the end of the day, here's the truth. This tower, or I should say, the church, doesn't grow without you. If you didn't know that, I need you to know that right now. It doesn't grow without you. And as we experience growth, we're just asking and praying that you would grow with us. Would you guys pray with me? As you bow your heads, as you close your eyes, man, I would really, really encourage you just to take some time right now. Just to really go to God and say, God, what is my gospel purpose? What is my next step here and now? Maybe you've been thinking about it and God's already identified it for you, but you've been hesitant to step into it. You haven't been willing to make that sacrifice. And I would encourage you today to make a commitment, a verbal commitment with God, to say, today I'm gonna set aside excuses. I'm gonna set aside all these things that I could say I have to do before I can do that, and say, right now I'm gonna be obedient to step in to serve. And the last thing I would say to you right now is that remember the first time you showed up to church. Remember the first time you sat in worship. Remember the first time you were willing to allow your kids to go into kids ministry and let someone else take care of them. Remember the experience that you have. Remember that someone has gone before you and served you, and you were blessed because of it. And that's the call for each of us. We are blessed to bless others. God, right now I pray for our church. God, you are working and you are moving in such a mighty way. And I don't know about everyone else here, but I am just honored to get to be a part of what you're doing. We have something so special here at Kairos. The community, the people, the love, the support, the encouragement. God, and it's evident. It's evident because your spirit is moving. Oh, and when your spirit moves, there is multiplication. So I pray that you would prepare our hearts, prepare our minds. God, give us a willingness and a boldness and a courage to go, to be obedient, to take a step and see where you lead us, God. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.